Okay, praise God. We have a service tonight, and you are in it right now. Okay, so that's good. That's good. I'm telling you, I'm going to just lead you in what our service is about tonight. It's about Psalm 116. So we're going to teach that psalm tonight in little bits and pieces. And the idea is I can be emotional. I can get upset, I can get worried, I can say things in my haste. It says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. When I'm under pressure, I might say things in a reactionary way. I might get upset. He almost died in that psalm, Psalm 116, verses 3, verse 8. That he could feel the death and that he almost died. He said so in that psalm. But then he is writing about these things that we're going to speak about tonight. So I think it would be awesome, very cool. You know, be aware we are in a pandemic period. I know we're on our way out of it by God's grace. Practice social distancing. You know, like this group over here, highly concentrated. Okay, so, but, you know, this is a confusing time in that regard, but I want you to, you know, we've said this many times, be wise and be safe and so on. But that being said, would you read, like, to yourself with somebody next to you if you want to, or behind you, make a little group if you want to. You're free to do that for a few minutes. Maybe this will be 5 minutes or so. Read Psalm 116 and make note of some verses there that'll speak to your heart and things that you're looking for in that psalm. And you also may talk to your neighbor if you want to. Okay, go ahead. Okay, how would we do? Anybody volunteer to come up and preach on Psalm 116? Yes, I'm going. Yes, yeah. Okay, I hope. All right, so have you, during this time, sensed in your heart and in your mind and in your words, foolishness. Have you seen in the streets in America some expressions of anger, hatred, and also what the Bible calls like not thinking? Anoitos is a word for that. So I looked up in the Greek dictionary some words on that subject, foolishness, and then in the Hebrew, and I recognized it in myself. And I think that it's important that you would be able to do that, that you would be able to recognize that there are times when you are just foolish. Luke 24, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Christ called them foolish and slow of heart to believe. Actually, to be honest, I think I live in a foolish world, because when we look around in the universe, man does not believe in God. Or he believes, but it ends there. There is a God, but that's the end. Which in Psalm 14, it says, the fool has said in his heart, actually in the Hebrew it says, no God. like no God, like God doesn't exist, or no to the God that does exist. The fool thinks that he's responsible for all the things that are good around him. He thinks that his refrigerator is full of food because of him. Because he had a job and he got a paycheck and he went to the grocery store and he bought the food and he put it in the refrigerator. And that's how he interprets his world. He doesn't recognize God. If he's smart and he goes to school and he gets a diploma of some kind, it's because of him. Of course it is. I did that. You know, this is normal for us to be this way. We take credit for things we have seen happen. We get up in the morning, we take credit for the fact that I got up because I ate my vitamins yesterday. And I take credit for my health because I had done this. And then I look in history and I say, of course that happened because of that king. He attacked that king. That's all. It's amazing how foolish people are, all of us. So, what's the difference between a fool and a wise man? And I won't go through all the words. I just wrote down verse after verse and word after word here, and I don't have it memorized. I just trust God for the message tonight and want to say a few things before we go to Psalm 116. And it is, man looks at history, and he just sees it as a natural sequence of events. He looks at the Bible, just doesn't think much of it at all. Largely doesn't understand it, just knows it's some religious book. He lives year after year, and you could say to him, you're going to die one day. He goes, of course, I know that. Where will you go after? I don't know. I worry about that later. The things that we see on the streets in America, things that we see taught at the universities. I heard an interesting statistic. In the 1960s, there were 3 liberal professors to 2 conservative professors on university campuses. Then it moved to 5 liberal professors to 1 conservative. Then it went 8-1, and now it's 48 liberal professors to 1 conservative professor. What a number. What an interesting thing that is being taught to our people. You know, foolishness, what is it? Where does it come from? It's from my heart. And if you leave people alone, just like a garden, if you let a garden alone, what are you going to get? Yeah. And if you leave a child alone, what are you going to get? A brat, she said. Yes, it gets worse. Okay. If you leave a nation alone, what are you going to get? You know, weeds grow, but a wise man, he has something, because like our diagram of the house with the 2 floors, when we believe in God, this is the beginning of what? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the mind of God in you and I as we live in this world. And when Jesus came, it was his wisdom that made him so unique in conversation, in the temple, on the street, in the road, in the countryside. It says in Luke 4:32 that he doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. He is different. And this is why Christ came, to give us another view of life. And he would say, he would be marveling at the unbelief that people had. He would be amazed at how easily people were being misled. He was amazed by what was happening when he was here on the earth, because he knew who his heavenly Father was, and so do you. And this is where we go into this psalm, and I want you to think about the value of your faith in worship. Because worship is the stirring up of your heart in faith and the believing of God that I cannot see, but to believe that it's because of God that I am here on this earth. It's because of God that good things happen. Also, bad things happen, but it's because of God. We live in a God-conscious state of mind by worship. So just about being, turn to Titus 3:3 for just a notice of a verse there, please. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. There's the word. Without understanding, disobedient, deceived. Maybe it'd be healthy for you to turn to your neighbor and say that I was one time foolish, disobedient, and deceived. And then give your neighbor a moment to say, I think you still are. Were you deceived? Were you without covenant, without promise? Were you without the Holy Spirit, without a new heart? Were you without Christ? Were you without the Bible, without the church? Were you at one time that way? The answer is yes. What further it says, what else does it say? We were serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Have you seen any hatred on the streets? And have you seen hatred at the university campus? Have you seen hatred on a basketball court? Have you seen hatred at a school? Have you seen hatred in a church? Have you seen hatred in your own heart? Have you ever heard that phrase, the devil's lane? The devil's lane, I read about it today. When two neighbors are fighting with each other and hating each other, they put up fences. The fences are 4 feet from each other. So they lose 4 feet of their property. You know, there's a fence here from one neighbor, a fence here, and that 4-foot lane is called the devil's lane. And like nobody gets it. His neighbor lost 2 feet of his property, he lost 2 feet of his property. Nobody gets it. It's where the devil walks up and down between two fighting neighbors. The devil's lane. Has that happened in your past? Was there somebody that you hated? Were you foolish? Were you without God? Were you without hope? Were you living in your own way? Yes, we were. Yes, and sometimes it comes back to me, and I do the same thing as an unbeliever does. So go now to Psalm 116, since I buried you deep enough, I hope so. No, here it is, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. My prayers have been heard by God. I have a new life now. God answers my prayers. God is in my life now. I was jealous of somebody over me. Now God has come into my life. Now I love somebody under me. What can I do to help the poor? What can I do to help somebody disadvantaged? When I care about people that are in trouble, then I lose my envy and my jealousy. And maybe there isn't anybody over me after all. And if they were, good for them. God bless them. I found God. So the envy and jealousy goes away. Verse 2. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. How long will we pray to him and worship him? As long as we live. How long will we have God in our life? He came, he appeared, he visited, he filled, he answered, he stirred my heart. He helped me, he became real for me. He became the new focus for my life. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Has hell ever got a hold of you? Have you ever felt it in a sick bed? Have you felt sorrow so deeply that you just kind of were out of your mind? Has that ever happened to you? When death is so real and the depression, the cloud of darkness that just is hanging over you, like in a pit, has that ever happened? This is like emotional. He's writing like, and the emotion is here. Look at verse 4, please. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I love the Psalms because God gets into our emotions and speaks through our emotions and says, I know what you're feeling. I know the darkness, I know the guilt, I know the fear. I know what you're feeling, and I can write this psalm through you and lead you in it, that you're allowed to be discouraged, you're allowed to be depressed, you're allowed to feel the sorrow, you're allowed to do it, but as you are, you still have God in your life, and you don't let that horrible stuff drag you into foolishness. There is no God. I don't believe the Bible anymore. I don't go there to the church anymore. I don't believe in that anymore. I've got my own, I have my own life and my own, it's kind of a small life that comes from a foolish heart. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe the prophets. Don't you know that your life is a vapor, that it's short? That you're here on earth for a short period of time and then you fly away. Psalm 90, verse 10. Don't you know that your life is very precious and valuable because you are able to live by faith and bring your faith right at the doorstep of those emotions? Like, allow them to be there, but they cannot bring my heart into this foolishness that I know I am capable of. Okay, go to the next one, verse, is it five? Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God, he is merciful. He is merciful. See, he has faith. God is kind. God is merciful. God is like a father. God is not going away from us. God, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Oh, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I go through the valley, and then the next verse, that he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If you think of that psalm, it's like God saying, I am enough for you. I am enough for you. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 36, 8. Psalm 16, verse 9. Oh, I am the river of God. Pastor Monty used this verse. The river of God is full of water. The nature of God is for us, not against us. But I am afraid, to be honest, that the emotions and the pressures of life and in my relationship with my wife and my children and the general wandering that I can have in my heart can just feed me into a state of heart and mind. And I just say, I am responsible for this. I am responsible for what is happening. I am responsible for the good things and also for the bad things. In the foolish mind, I read a couple here for you. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. There are people that are kind of get into the thing and dig up iniquity in Psalm 64 and talk foolishly. They don't know what they're saying. God is not in it. In Psalm 17:2, let my sentence come forth from your presence, Lord. May everything that I say have some edifying effect, that everything that we say in God's spirit and God's heart has a means of soothing, encouraging, comforting, and forgiving. But hatred is in the air today. I want to show you one verse, Matthew 24, that Ramona shared with me on the phone the other day, and she pointed this out to me. She said, they will deliver you up to be afflicted, 24:9, and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This is in the tribulation period, I assume. But I think there's a pattern of words here that would be useful for us to think about in the days that we are living today. There is a falling, then shall many be offended, verse 10. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It looks like there's a sequence. People, there's hatred, there's a falling away, the people are offended, they betray one another. They snitch on each other. By the way, in the city of Baltimore, where we have all the murders that are happening, one murder a day just about, and they are not resolved. There's like 70% of them are unresolved murders. And people get away with murder. That's very unhealthy for any society. that if there's a murder and he gets away with it, that's very unhealthy. So they have a thing where a witness will not snitch on the murderer, even though he was a witness or his evidence, because he himself may be killed or his family. So their truth has fallen in the street, and there's a sickness as a result of it. And you have a continuation of a problem. Well, just take this thought tonight. Foolishness in the heart of man. And he doesn't have the character to stand. He cannot tell the truth. He cannot face the fire. He cannot stand in the contest. He doesn't have what he takes. He can betray. He can say, it's your life or mine, and I'm saving my life. And I mean, it sounds very dramatic, but I want to make a point about that. Psalm 116 is saying that when we have God in our life, that this is different from being a foolish person. Because it says here, there will be hatred and there will be betrayal. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. Is that what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the end times? It is. That's a profile of the end times. And in our society, we have moved away from what is really needed. What is really needed is something extraordinary, beautiful. It's God. What is needed is the worship of God, the fear of God, the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, the hunger that comes from God, the looking at the invisible. And that if I focus on my country, I may get nothing. But if I focus on God, I'll get both God and I'll have a beautiful effect on my country and the generations that follow and the need that is great here. Go to Psalm 116, please. It says, "Return unto your rest, O my soul," verse 7. Return unto your rest. Do you ever feel that way with God? I'm going to go with God and rest with God. I have a place in my heart. I rest with God. I don't think there is any resting place except God. He is our resting place, our fortress. He is a place where he doesn't condemn you. He loves you. He is a place where he comforts you and he speaks kindly to you, Psalm 94:20. And a still small voice in 1 Kings chapter 19, the rest that the people of God have of Hebrews 4, the rest of the finished work, the rest of the throne of God. The shepherd leads us beside the still waters. You know, rushing water, sheep don't drink out of it. Why? Because they fall in and drown. They rest, the water moving, they need it to be quiet water. And they can drink from the quiet water. That's like us. I can't drink from a river of hatred and fear and violence. I need a quiet river. I need the green grass and the quiet place of the church. I need the anointing and the Spirit of God to feed me in wisdom, to escape from the hell below. That's the idea. Go to the next verse, please. It says, 8, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." So you have three: soul, my soul, and the death of the soul, the eyes from tears, the sorrow. There's so many tears in this world, and there's so many circumstances that produce tears. There's so much loneliness that produces tears, and emptiness and pain that produces tears. And then my feet, my physical body, from falling, my feet, I am alive, because God has kept our feet from falling. One day in heaven, I'm sure God will show us that I had delivered you from this car accident and from falling off of this and from this thing. I kept you from this and I kept you from that. I've kept you alive all these days. And the psalmist is saying, I didn't do that. I didn't get up in the morning because of my vitamins. I got up in the morning because my God kept me alive through the night. And I got home at night safe and sound because God did that for me. He's a God-conscious believer, but doesn't mean he's not thrown around emotionally with trouble. And I might say, foolishness in my heart. Foolishness in my heart that can take me away. Foolishness in my heart that can mess up my marriage and mess up my things in life. I mean, foolishness in my heart that can doesn't sound right exactly in the church. It's foolishness in my heart that stirs up strife and fights and looks for a fight and stirs up things that are not necessary to be, you know, to be entertained. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And that's how we feel around here. Thank you, Lord. There's a life here. It's the land of the living. It's beautiful. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed. It's a big phrase. This little verse in verse 10 is used by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Where is it? Chapter 5, I believe. He uses that verse. Or is it chapter 1 Corinthians 4? Is it 1 Corinthians 4? Okay, yes. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I believe, therefore I have a message from the Holy Spirit, from God. I saw a little boy, young man, sitting on the curb today. I was riding my bicycle this afternoon. I went for a ride, and I stopped this little, not a little boy, he was physically a little guy, but he was, I don't know, 18 or 20 years old. And I just talked, and he was talking, and I was just, I believed, therefore have I spoken. That's the little equation. When you believe, then you end up saying something. Because if you believe, then it's going to affect your conversation. Because you believe, then God is in it. And all you have to do is say just the things that you believe. I mean, you don't have to preach to people. You just say something. And I said to him, I know a Bible verse. Could I quote it to you? He said, sure. So I did. And that's all. You don't know. But because you believe, you have something to say. And it's not about this level. It's because you believe, you can say, you know what? I used to take a lot of credit for my life, but I got to tell you, young man, I'm telling you, it's God that will bless your life. It's God that you're looking for. It's God that you want. That's who you're looking for, and his name is Jesus Christ. Okay, go to the next one. It says, verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. This is also a kind of emotional phrase. I was in a hurry. I was under pressure, and I said something stupid. Even though it's correct, all men are liars, but he's saying it in reaction. He's like very upset. It'd be like something like you could say, okay, you can say something. Okay. You jackass. Okay. Okay, so I could say in my haste, that's stupid. I could say in my haste, I could curse or say something. In my haste, I could come to, I'm hurt. And in my haste, I just punch back. But then I know it's foolish. If I could say all things are working for good, I don't know why that guy cut me off on the beltway. I don't know how, why. I mean, people have been driven off the road sometimes by careless and foolish people. They've gone through horrible, horrific, unfortunate things that have happened in life. And in my haste, I said, you see, that's the idea. So that's kind of normal. We can say it. I mean, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying that can happen. But don't allow your emotions to carry you into a foolish way of thinking. Be corrected. Be led and be a worshiper. Finishing up here, it goes verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What could I give to God for everything he's given me? How about praise? How about praise? What could I give to God for all the things he's given me? How about a song? How about praise? How about thinking about him, relating to him? What about believing in him? What about receiving from him? What about just letting God love me? Just letting God love me and build me up. What could I render to God? What could I give in return for all the things that he has poured out on me and shout? How about just believing in him and bringing him into your life and keeping you from the foolishness that easily comes into our hearts and becomes part of us? If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. The gift that you and I have been given by God is this ability to admit our foolishness and then be a worshiper and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take all you got from me. You know, some people compare themselves with other people and they wonder, how did he get all that? How did he get that? How did she succeed in that? They don't know. Matthew 6 says, when we pray in secret, God rewards us openly. What happened? It wasn't that we were wanting, you know, it wasn't us. It's God's grace that you and I, everyone in this room, we all have all of the blessings in Ephesians 1:3. We have all grace in Romans 5:17 and verse 19. We have all of Christ. If he did not spare his own son, wouldn't he give us everything in his son? Learn to bring the Son of God in your heart and mind and way of life. And have him control and restrain and control and have authority by the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. Learn how to bless your wife with good words. Learn how to be quiet with your children and listen to them and love them. Learn how to edify body members and bring a blessing into your relationships with people. And be quiet about some things. Like the fool utters all his mind, everything he just spills. I've got to say this. You don't have to say it. What you need to do is get real, calm down, and you said in your haste something, And just start to be thankful for everything you got. Everything. Be very thankful. Learn to be thankful for everything we got. And be a worshiper of God. That, what shall I render unto the Lord for all? How about just being plain thankful for everything that we have? Are there injustices in the world? Yes, we've seen that in the last few weeks. We're not denying it. We recognize it. But we're saying in every one of our lives, every one of us have a big problem, and that's me. I am a big problem. I'm a problem to myself. I'm a problem to the people around me. I'm a problem in this world. But God is telling me what the answer is, and the answer is Him. And if He could fill me with the Holy Spirit and love would be in my heart, then it's not contrived. It's not artificial. It's genuine. It says loving each other without hypocrisy. That means without it being contrived and political or whatever, saying the right thing. No, we are deeper. We have something in our heart. We have the presence of God. And that's what every black man wants. That's what every white man wants. That's what every person in the world is needing. It's the love of God that is in our hearts. But beware, I can be a fool. There's a story in 1 Samuel 25. This is going a little long, but I'm going to share it. Just, we're almost done. There was a foolish man. His name was Nabal. It's a funny story. I can never figure it out. That's a Ben Turkia question. Why would his parents at the birth of the baby just pick him up and say, "What? Well, let's call him fool." Look at the precious little child. We'll call him Nabal. Fool. Doesn't he look like a fool, Jacob? For some reason, his name is Fool, and that's his name. Okay. This man, when it came to David, he did not discern David. He did not know what was going on. He did not give grace. He was a blessed man. He was very rich. He had huge flocks. He was a very rich man, but he's the kind of guy that says, "I did it. I did it. I'm rich because of me. I'm blessed because of me. I got it because of me." And we would say, and then he goes, David is going to come in his anger. He's going to come and kill him. And his wife, Abigail, Nabal's wife, went out and met David and said, "David, don't do such a thing. You are more honorable than this foolish man. You don't fight with him. God will take care of you. God takes care of you. And you don't have to look for justice in this case. Let God deal with it and God take care of it." And this man is, and he died in 10 days. He had an aneurysm in his brain. It looks like he went into a coma, and he eventually died in a short time. And that's the story. You know, I was just saying this. Abigail had the mind of God. Nabal did not have. David got the mind of God from Abigail, a woman giving David the mind of God. Thank you, Abigail. Great job. Good job. David was foolish. We can become foolish, but we're learning to bring worship into every area and see the work of God. What shall I render unto the Lord? I will give him thanks. I will take the cup. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We're going to end there because of time, but in verse 15, I want to bring that out. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, this is what it means. The word precious means costly or valuable. When a saint dies, that's precious. I don't know really the meaning. I can't really say what the psalmist is saying, but we could say a few things about it. Maybe when pastors... When God invested in Pastor Carl in India, and he invested in him and Susie, And they invested, and this man became like a valuable person. And when it was time for God to take him, it was costly to God to take that man. It was costly. It was valuable. That this man is a valuable man. Your life is a valuable life. And when God loses us off the earth, it's a valuable thing when we leave the earth. Because when you and I bring God into our mindset, in our worldview, our way of thinking and living, there's a salt and light, there's a value, there's a wisdom, there's an answer, there's something that affects kids and neighbors and parents and grandparents. There's an influence of godliness that happens in life. And when they are gone, when they die, when it's time for them to be taken off the earth, Ravi Zacharias and these men and the precious women every day, and the value we don't even know. Remember the little woman with two mites, and she gave in the offering, and Jesus sitting there looking, and he says, "See this woman? That's valuable. I see it. That's valuable. Your faith is valuable. Your prayers are valuable. Your heart is valuable. Your words are valuable. Your life is valuable. Your motivation is valuable. Your mission is valuable." I cannot understand it in this coronavirus time how churches could not be motivated and have vision and have faith and believe in God and have a mission and say, be on the move. How could I take a time out and leave what our mission is, what our vision is, what is stirred in our hearts? How can that be? I mean, I'm not really aware of everything, but I get the gist and I hear the news a little bit here and there. No. We may have an empty room like we did for 2 months or 10 weeks or whatever it was. Empty room in here. But you and I, if you give me a time out long enough, I might end up living like a foolish person. Very emotional. I'll say, "Damn it." Like, swear, that's terrible. Like, I will look at life. It's because of me that I'd, and many other ideas that just, and how I treat. And so that's my message today. You guys are awesome listeners, and the Spirit wants to say to us something tonight, I think. He wants to say something to us. Let me finish with one last thing. I think that if this fellowship that we are in is one from God and the Spirit moves with us in his mind and heart, then there'll be people that God will be raising up. He has been doing it and he continues. And there'll be somebody, there's another one, that the Spirit is moving and starts to move in their heart. And they start to get it. Oh, I get it. I should pray to God. Okay. Or they start to get it. Oh, I get it. I don't know why, but I have another spirit in my, I have a good spirit. I have a praise of God. I'm excited. I'm reading this little book about Jesus, a booklet that I got from the cafe. I'm reading about it. It's stirring my spirit and my heart. I want to feed on that. And then I got a new friend over here. I don't know. He's a little bit strange, a little bit different. But hey, we had one brother, the Finns know him. But he was fun. And his English was, he had a very strong, he had an accent. And we'd have a conversation. He lived in the men's dorm when I was there, I believe. But he would have this way when he wanted to say something. He'd go, "But hey." And then he would explain, and we picked that up, and we would just be, you know, together, and we would bring it into a conversation. We stand, everybody was quiet, and I go, "But hey," and then say the point. Okay, so all right. What did I want to say? I believe that the Spirit in this summer, I believe that the Spirit with reading a book, I believe that God will keep us from our foolish selves and help us to live in this beautiful, edifying way. And we'll have a great convention here by God's grace. Little or big, small or big, large, whatever it might be, it's fine, whatever the Lord would give and however He leads people. But for us and our house, by God's grace, we will wholly follow Him and have Him like we said tonight. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we'll just have an invitation prayer. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your life, this is the beginning for you to be born of the Spirit, to be believing in Jesus. He died, took your sins away. He's alive. He's real. God is real. Can't see Him. Sometimes we don't feel Him. Don't understand Him always. We don't know what's going on, but we live by faith and we become effective, fruitful, blessed, and we can just praise Him and think of Him and all that He's done for us and recognize it. Start your new life tonight by faith in Jesus. Say to Jesus, I believe in You, and you're good to go. You're born again. The Spirit dwells in you. Walk by faith in Him. Turn from your old ways. Repent from your sin. Believe in Jesus. Turn from yourself to Him. It's easy. Believe in Him. He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.